I'm going to record one little quick thing because this was a 50-ish minute podcast, and we might want to break it into two.
Good call.
So I might say something like, last week we were talking about vocation, and so we're going to pick up where we left off. Okay.
Perfect.
And don't forget to say, and now we're going to kick it over to David Neighbor.
David Neighbor,
now we're gonna
take it away.
Welcome to the Piney Pastors Podcast, the elders meeting after show where we hang out to discuss theology and issues relevant to covenant members at Piney Ridge Church in Wentzville, Missouri. It's like a Bible study, covenant members gathering, elders hangout, and talk show all wrapped up into one. And it's all about making disciples of Jesus Christ. So grab another cup of coffee and let's get started.
Let's talk for a minute about calling. The word vocation, the root word voca, I guess is how you pronounce that, means calling. And so sometimes we use that word almost in a mystical sense. So to what degree are we called to our present jobs? And is there any kind of a distinction between a calling to, say, ministry and then everybody else?
Yeah. I mean, even the word profession, you profess, right? And what is it? What is it that you are called to? I think in one sense, there's a generic idea that all people should be professing, saying something about what they're called to be and do. And there's a general call for all people to work, all people to reflect God in being, you know, creators, producers, those who serve and do things well. And yet, like you said, there's going to be a mystical kind of almost magical, oh, I've been called to this thing or to that thing. I think, you guys can tell me what your thoughts on this, but I think that a lot of times people want that because it gives them a sense of purpose or commitment to what they're doing because, oh, there's not just I just chose to do this or I fell into this or somebody asked me to do this, but no, but this is my calling. This is, there's something extra special to it and almost gives a divine weight to what they're doing, but they need not have that kind of mystical, unexplainable feeling of, God has definitely made me for this thing. Mm-hmm. When in general, God, I mean, there's lots of different things. You know, Nathan can be building houses or being a pastor or being a musician, and what is your calling? And the answer is kind of yes. Mm-hmm. God has called us to doing whatever we're doing at that moment if we're doing it for his honor. So for me, seeing calling as a more general and bigger picture is sometimes more helpful.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I was just looking in Ephesians and...
Hey, we should preach through that book.
Yeah, that would be a good book to preach through. So Paul, I'm trying to think if he uses the word calling to describe his ministry, but he definitely recognize that he had a unique ministry. His ministry was to take the gospel to the Gentiles, as Peter's primary ministry was to take the gospel to the Jews. And so I think it would be safe to say that that was a calling. But I think that in scripture, sometimes we try to normalize things that are unique. That was a unique calling. Paul saw it as a unique calling for himself and the other apostles, and not something that he saw as being normative for the church as a whole. In fact, he says in Ephesians 4, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you, so he's just talking to the church, the church in Ephesians, and probably more generally in Asia Minor, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And so he's talking there about a calling to walk in step with the gospel, a calling to walk following Christ in obedience. And as he goes on to describe throughout the rest of the book of Ephesians what that looks like, it is very practical things like working hard, you know, submitting to one another in love, children obeying your parents, like all those things are part of this calling. Like Jason was saying, it's more of a general, here's what you're called to. You're called to live your life in a way that displays the beauty of the gospel and the lordship of Christ. And so I think we all want to be special, and so there is a desire that a lot of us have to say, well, I'm called to X, Y, or Z. And people sometimes get hung up on that, like, I just haven't felt, especially when we're younger, I think it's more common to feel like Because people ask you, well, what's God's call in your life? I don't know. Sit around and play right. Xbox, maybe. And so people get hung up on and don't do anything because they haven't felt a call in a specific direction, waiting for that mystical voice or whatever to clear discernment of God's will. God is calling me to be this or that. And really, here's the general call is to walk in humility, walk in love, walk in obedience. And then if God gives us a specific calling in that, then great. But if he doesn't, we still have the general call that we can all walk in faithfully.
Yeah. So whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Right. And don't consider it as, well, I'm not going to really put my all into this because it doesn't feel like a calling. Mm-hmm. Like God hasn't called me to do this. Well, yeah. I mean, he's called you to trust Christ, to honor him in all of life. And so whatever you're doing, do that. And don't make it so, don't be so lazy and don't be demanding of God some special sign that says, hey, this affirms that I'm supposed to be doing this or else. A lot of times it's just biblical wisdom that you learn over time, over not days and weeks, but over years and decades of reading the word and saying, I want to think more biblically about life. And that let me see, hey, this makes most sense here. I'm asking good questions of good counselors, good people in my life that I can trust that are wise, and that I'm praying about it and saying, God, I want to submit to you and I want to honor you. So then do those things that fit all those categories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in light of what we've talked about whether or not there's a special calling to certain types of work, a couple passages come to mind that maybe will help give us a biblical perspective on God's sovereignty in our work. These come to mind. We can talk about these. Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is a purpose of the Lord that will stand. Then in chapter 20, verse 24, man's steps are from the Lord. How then can man understand his way? I also thought about Acts 17, where Paul addresses the Areopagus, where he, talking about God, he said, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place that they should seek God. And so just thinking about God's sovereignty over, well, even nations here and their dwelling places and our steps being ordered by God, how does that play into the jobs that we presently have? And if we are unhappy in our work, does that mean that we should or should not pursue other work or higher paying jobs? Or are we just simply being dissatisfied with where God has sovereignly placed us? So let's just talk about that, God's sovereignty over our work, our present job.
Well, to start with, I was a public school teacher. Well, and I still am part-time. So it'd be 38 years now that I've been a teacher. And
I guess how many years I've been alive?
About 38.
Yeah, about 38.
And
Steve started teaching when he was two, though, so it's okay.
You know, and people ask me, well, how did you become a teacher? Well, because I went to the University of Missouri at Rolla because my counselor told me to go there because I was good at math. And he told me to be an engineer. And I got there, and within a month or two, I discovered that I would be the world's worst engineer ever because I have no curiosity about how things work or run. And I looked around, and the only thing really left for me to major in was math education. And that's how I became a teacher. Now, there were other forces at work growing up in a family of teachers, for example. And to get to your question that you just asked, my first year of teaching, I tried like mad to find a job in any other field that I could find because I hated it because I was teaching eighth grade. And yet I believe God called me to be a teacher. I believe that God sovereignly and providentially worked the events of my life to get me into that position where he had gifted me. And now as also a pastor, I had no intention ever of being a pastor. And yet God sovereignly worked my life to mature me, to instruct me, to have me sit under certain pastors, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, to get me to this point where he wanted me to be right now.
And I think that's important to say that if people want to talk about calling, I've been called to this, I've been called to this vocation or whatever, I don't have a huge problem with it if they understand that it doesn't have to be so, I put it more positively, if they think, yes, there was just God kind of set up things in my life that led me to this. I had a desire for this. This God gave me opportunities for this. It seemed to make the most sense. So I was doing this and God called me to it. You don't have to stop and wonder. You don't have to stop and wonder, Steve, and say, hey, did I waste 38 years of my life in teaching? Should I? Was that what God called me to or not? Is that my what I'm supposed to do? Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Mm-hmm. Say, yeah. I mean, God worked that out. Yeah, my wife's grandfather, he tells me all the time that he was a farm boy, and his dad said, hey, when you're going to go into the military. And so at 18, he went into the Navy and was there 4 years. And in there, the job that somebody assigned him to do was some engineering work and said, hey, we want you to go. You should probably go to college. And he goes, okay. And they said, you probably should get an engineering degree. He said, okay. So he did. Job day at the graduation, they had like a job fair. And a couple different places were there, NASA being one of them. And he applied for NASA and he got it. And they wanted him to come work for him. But they didn't give him the paperwork. So he also applied to what was then McDonnell Douglas, now Boeing. And they accepted him there. But they sent him the paperwork right away. So he chose that. Ended up working for McDonnell Douglas on NASA projects. So did his whole career at McDonnell Douglas and made good money. Did a lot of great things. Worked on some of the Mercury and Gemini spacecraft that went there and had a great time. And just said, he says, I had no idea what I was doing. It was like God was just kind of driving it, and I was just, okay, all right, I'll go here. Okay, this makes sense. And just really was humble and submissive to people in his life that said, hey, I think this would be a good idea. I think this makes most sense. And then when there was an opportunity, he tested it out, and it worked, and there you go. And so it doesn't have to be so where we test it by some mystical, magical sign in the sky that says, yep, confirmed, this is what special calling.
And so we have some teenagers in our church who are either at that threshold of having graduated from high school or about to. And so what advice do we give to them as they think, what's my calling in life? Well, I'll answer that for you.
That's a great question, Steve.
Would you answer that, Steve?
Because I've been asked that question many times. I would say the first thing to them is, if you're asking what the will of God is for your life, open your Bible and read it, because that's the will of God for your life. Mm-hmm. And read it and obey it. And God, I think what we're trying to say here today is God will order the steps of your life, and God will put you where he wants you to be. Trust him. Trust him. If you have a desire to go to college and major in X, Y, or Z, perhaps that's God's calling on your life. Perhaps God has placed that desire in your heart, as long as it's not a sinful thing, to do that. So follow the desires of your heart, as long as you are also being obedient to the word of God. That's the number one thing that kids that are 17, 18, 19 years of age need to do, is be obedient to what we already know is the revealed word of God. And God will then reveal, sometimes just through providentially ordering the events of your life, what you are to do as a career or as a vocation.
Yeah. Go ahead, Brian.
No, go ahead.
Okay, I will.
No, I'll go.
I was just going to say that one of the clear places in Scripture where it says, here's what God's will is, it 1st or 2nd Thessalonians, where he says, this is God's will for your life, your sanctification. Mm-hmm. So if, you know, people spend a lot, that's what I was saying earlier about people, younger people sometimes getting kind of paralyzed by that, trying to discern what God's will is. Well, it's your sanctification. It's that you become more like Jesus. And the specifics of how that works out, for one thing, we shouldn't agonize over it too much, because what we're saying is we're not in control of it. Anyway, God is sovereign over the times and seasons of our life. And
amen.
And I mean, how many people think that they have felt a calling to a certain vocation? They spend thousands and thousands of dollars getting a college degree towards that vocation, getting out and finding there are no jobs, you know, in that field. Yeah. Or they get so far into it and go like, yeah, I can't stand this, or I'm no good at this really, but I'm so far into this degree, I'm just going to finish it out and then hope it works out. And so that's where people end up. And then sometimes, you know, they'll get into another field. Like I was saying, my dad got a more than 4-year degree. It took him a while because he didn't have any debt at the end of it, but he got a degree in English, went and taught English for a year, hated it, and then has been doing stuff with wood ever since then, sawmilling and building houses. And so, you know, if he had felt like, man, my calling is to teaching and I just blew it because I couldn't stand it, then he probably would have been you know, devastated or had a chip on his shoulder the rest of his life. But he said, well, what else has God given me to do? Okay, I can do carpentry, so I'll do that.
And those years of his life that he spent pursuing that mm-hmm. English degree were not wasted.
Not wasted. Yeah. Because now he has the upper hand in arguments against my mom when they're talking about
Should
English grammar.
Or ER.
Right, yeah.
Well, and you know what? I think if you look back in history, part of the problem today is that there is a billion opportunities.
Yeah.
And so the thing is, they lie to kids and tell them they can be whatever they want to mm-hmm. be, and that's not true. But right. you can do whatever you want to do in life.
5'2", you'll be in the NBA.
Yes,
but wait,
right.
I can do all things.
That does not, no.
That's a different podcast, Brian.
Different podcast. But no, that doesn't mean that. And so, but what they used to do was, hey, I'm gonna work in the mine. Why? Because my dad did.
Yeah.
And or I'm gonna be a carpenter. Why? Because my dad did. Or I'm gonna follow in my parents' footsteps of doing this or doing that because that's what you learned your trade from them. Mm-hmm. So now there's so many opportunities. People get paralyzed over it and they say, oh, I need to figure out what my calling is. And part of it is just pray. Ask God to say, okay, there's a billion options here. And there's, but some of them I don't want to do. Mm-hmm. Some of them I can't do. Some I shouldn't do. So that narrows a lot down. But pray and ask him for wisdom. Read his word and seek to say, God, I want to obey you in everything you've already told me to do. Let's be about that. And then let's get good counsel from other people. And let's test all things and hold fast that which is good. Mm-hmm. So let's just try things out and see if this works. Mm-hmm. Do some investigation and think, oh, I would love to be this. And you investigate it and you start looking into it. And you go, actually, probably not.
Right.
Or no, that wouldn't work so well, or I don't think that would fit with my desires or the amount of time I have to put into that kind of job. I wouldn't be able to be at home with my family. I wouldn't be able to, be around my church. Would I be traveling all the time? And I don't know. They would say a lot of things would go against their desires, their values, their beliefs, mm-hmm. in very particular ways that they would learn along the way as they're pursuing just to figure out what they should be doing. But I don't think a lot of times people know where to start. And so yeah. just start by those things.
And I think you said something very key there. Investigate and try.
Right.
Don't sit there and wait.
Yeah, trusting
for
God doesn't mean
lightning.
Sitting back.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Doing nothing.
Take a chance.
Yeah. My oldest, Lauren, is 23, and my next oldest, Dawson, is 19. And so they're in that place in life where they are just asking that question: What does God have in store for me? What should I be doing to prepare? What is my calling? And there's some anxiety with that because there's this fear that if they don't get it right.
Right.
They're going to be miserable people.
For the rest of their lives.
Yeah. And so the way I've been counseling them is first and foremost, be faithful to reading God's word, be obedient to his word. And that's where it has to begin. And then from there, just ask yourself, what do I know to be true today? Mm-hmm. I can't
Amen.
Forecast what's going to happen tomorrow or mm-hmm. 10 years from now. Mm-hmm. All I know is what I know to be true today. And so based on that, how should I move forward? And not being paralyzed, you know,
right.
like you're saying, Steve, sometimes we can get so caught up in, we've got to get this.
I can't move
we
until I know
perceive
perfectly.
Perceive the calling right, and we have to make the right decision, or we're completely paralyzed. And I don't think that's a biblical response. But what I know to be true today, yeah. and moving in a direction, and God may reveal from that.
Today, do what you know you should do today, mm-hmm. and then do the same thing tomorrow. And do the same thing all week.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then do it all month. And then do it all year. And guess what? If you keep doing that 5 years from now, guess where you'll be? Exactly where God wants you to
right.
be.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
And that passage,
now you're preaching.
Now you're preaching.
Amen.
And back to Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. That doesn't mean that man should not make plans.
Right.
You know, I think it's good to think to the future and make plans. But where we find our peace is in that ultimately it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand.
Amen.
So we humbly submit ourselves to his sovereign plan, even when our plans right. might go by the wayside.
Exactly. Amen.
Yep. Yeah, and that's where I've seen people get frustrated, believers get frustrated because they have had plans in mind. I'm going to be a missionary to Africa, you know, or I'm going to be a pastor. I'm going to be this or that. And that's someone's plan, not a bad plan. But then, you know, maybe it's a young woman who gets married and she thinks she's going to be a missionary to Africa. But her husband says, if I get bit by a mosquito in Africa, I will die. And so They can't move to Africa. Whatever. Best I could come up with on the spur of the moment. But anyway, that, you know,
I've heard of that story.
Her calling, her calling in her mind was to be a missionary in Africa. And so there can be a frustration for the rest of her life that affects her love for her husband, her care for her family, her contentment, where God has her, her joy in, her joyfulness and feeling of usefulness in ministry where she's at. Maybe even just always feeling like, okay, I can't really do anything here because this isn't what God had for me.
It's supposed to be elsewhere.
And so, I'm not going to look and see what is God laying right out here for me to do. Mm-hmm. And just people living in that sense of frustration, always discontent because they feel like they missed their calling. And God is saying, here's, like you were just saying, Steve, here's what I've called you to today, tomorrow, the next day. Right. And then who knows, maybe down the road, maybe there's a desire that God gave to her and he's going to see that comes to fruition in 50 years.
That's right. You never know when you're 60 years old what God's going to do with you.
And you know, sometimes God then gives us a desire that he then narrows and focuses in. So maybe you have a desire for for the loss in Africa, mm-hmm. and you're thinking, well, I'm supposed to go there. Then you make it a jump to conclusions, though, and so maybe later it's, you know what, no, but we can take trips there, or maybe we don't. Mm-hmm. Maybe we raise money for that, or you know what, maybe what I'm supposed to be doing is up till I'm, 106 years old, praying every day for the lost in Africa, mm-hmm. for the missionaries there, mm-hmm. and befriending them and supporting them and encouraging them. So sometimes God narrows that desire in to be very focused. And the beautiful part of that is a light is spread abroad, but a laser is this really, really, really focused light that has a lot of power, mm-hmm. and that God wants to do great things through it, but it's only going to be that way when it gets narrowed in. And so sometimes it means take some patience and let God, over time, kind of develop that and focus that desire into something that he wants you to do.
At 48 years old, I feel like I'm just now getting to the point where I've lived enough life and worked enough that I can look back and I can see the path that God has brought me on, mm-hmm. and look back and see how he has blessed, sanctified me and my family through experiences that certainly were not in my plans. When I first started out my career, when I went to my first airline, my plan was to be there for the next 35 years, mm-hmm. and have this great career. And because of mergers, because of a number of things happening, it didn't play out that way. But as I look back on that time period, had things not played out the way they had, we wouldn't have spent 2 years in China and grown tremendously through that experience. We wouldn't have two of our children, mm-hmm. From China. And so many examples I can look back and point to and say, wow, I'm so glad that God in his love and goodness and sovereignty over my job, over my career, I'm so glad that he brought me through those things. Because even though they may have been difficult at the time, even though it wasn't my original plan or what I felt like I was called to at that time, mm-hmm. they were so much better.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. So what do you want to do when you grow up?
I haven't figured that out yet.
Okay.
Me either.
I have many and varied interests, and I ask myself that all the time.
All in the new creation.
That's right.
That's when you get to do those.
That's right. Somebody did once tell me that there's going to be a need for airline pilots in the new creation to fly people into the new Jerusalem.
I see.
Into the city. Hey. So who knows? There may be air service.
Maybe. Just
you don't lose
real
your
quick,
luggage, though.
I think for people, we've talked about people who don't like their jobs, but I think some people actually do enjoy their work. And I think one of the fears that people might have about heaven, the afterlife, is that they won't be able to get to do what they really enjoy. And what we've talked about is that actually we'll get to do work and it'll be a whole lot better. And a book that might be helpful for people if they're curious about what eternity will be like is the book Heaven. I think it's just called Heaven, mm-hmm. by Randy Alcorn.
Yeah.
I actually haven't read it, but I'm recommending it. But I know several people who've read it.
I've read
quite a few, and I've read parts of it, and I've heard Randy talk about it. You've read it, Steve?
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you recommend it? I wouldn't. Stipulations?
Yeah, with some stipulations.
He speculates on some things because we don't know everything about eternity, but just the idea that there
that's
is...
That's what I'd say is he does a lot of speculation.
There's some speculation. Yeah. But just, the idea that we will be actually engaged in work in eternity was kind of a a new and cool and big idea for me. So I know he expands on that a lot, but it might be helpful for people.
Thank you for listening. We have a new podcast each week, so be sure to subscribe on iTunes. For more information about Piney Ridge Church in Wentzville, Missouri, visit us online at pineyridgechurch.org. That's P-E-I-N-E, ridgechurch.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Piney Ridge. That's all for today. We look forward to seeing you on Sunday morning.